Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our time of prayer and scripture together. Glad to have you with us. Feel free to leave your prayer intentions in the comments and let us delve into the Word of God and into His presence. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we ask you to give us your light today and guidance, your forgiveness, repentance, and healing. And give us fervor for the word that we read, because it is a living and active word. Allow it to transform us. May we not put any obstacles in the way of its power in our lives. And may we understand it more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. There was an attempt in Iconium by both the Gentiles and the Jews together with their leaders to attack and stone Paul and Barnabas. They realized it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding countryside, where they continued to proclaim the good news. At Lystra there was a crippled man lame from birth who had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, who looked intently at him, saw that he had the faith to be healed, and called out in a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." He jumped up and began to walk about. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they cried out in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in human form." They called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, for he, together with the people, intended to offer sacrifice. The apostles, Barnabas and Paul, tore their garments when they heard this and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We are of the same nature as you, human beings. We proclaim to you good news that you should turn from these idols to the living God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the past generations, he allowed all Gentiles to go their own ways. Yet in bestowing his goodness, he did not leave himself without witness. For he gave you rains from heaven in fruitful seasons and filled you with nourishment and gladness for your hearts." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, friends, the lesson that comes from this is that the incarnation is a challenging reality. That God truly has mixed himself up with human reality. He did become human in Christ Jesus. And that began a new era where God was, and his word and his grace, his sacraments, his truth, his salvation are conveyed through human instruments. We will see as we continue to read on in the Acts of the Apostles in these days that priests are appointed, presbyters, preachers, overseers, bishops. The church is growing as more and more people are coming to hear the word of God. They're not just coming into some shapeless, formless mass. There's a structure, there's a hierarchy, there are ministries, there are people being commissioned and being sent on mission. And so we have Paul and Barnabas here, and they are bringing, through their very words, the grace of Christ, the power of his healing, the word of forgiveness and salvation. And so, being that there never was an incarnation before, these folks who are used to mythology and pagan gods and goddesses see this happening and they receive it in the framework of their own culture and their own understanding. And Paul and Barnabas, of course, have to correct them right away. They're not entirely wrong, are they? Look what they said. Gods have come to us in human form. Are they entirely wrong? Jesus is God, and he has a human nature. Paul and Barnabas, together with all who are baptized, share the divine nature. Christ is living in them, working through them, speaking through them, healing through them. So they're not entirely wrong, but they interpret this based on what they're already used to. Hermes is the spokesperson. You got Zeus, the god. They offer sacrifice to the very people who are speaking to them. This tells us something about religious experience. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I had an encounter with God. And then they interpret for us, they tell us, they explain what happened or what God said to them or what it means to them. God really does speak to human beings. There really are spiritual experiences. But sometimes people are making things up, and sometimes people are just experiencing on a natural level certain feelings and thoughts and experiences that are spiritual. Okay. But there really are encounters of God with human beings. There really are mystical experiences. God really does speak to people, sometimes in extraordinary and special ways. And what we have to understand, taken from this reading, is that when that happens, we're always receiving it based on what we already know, who we already are. We're always taking the grace that God is giving us and putting it in our own vessels, the vessels of our mind, our hearts, our bodies, our lives, our experiences, and our understanding. Like what happened with these people who saw this miracle and heard the preaching of Paul and Barnabas, we've got to learn to make the change, make the transition to accepting the newness of what God is saying to us at any given time, the newness of the gospel of Christ. It's not going to fit into the categories of the experience we have already. It'll be shaped by that, especially as we first receive it. But this is why we always have to allow the word to transform us more and more deeply. And this is more and more necessary in our culture today, isn't it? Because it has sunk so deep into a forgetfulness about the very existence of truth, into a forgetfulness about the very meaning of life. And that's why when people hear us preaching, thus says the Lord, or this is the word of the Lord, because they have no sense of God, nor even any sense of truth, how do they receive it? How do they interpret it? Not that we are gods, but that we're arrogant. They receive it and interpret it as we're trying to control their lives. Look at the pro-life message. When the pro-life message is proclaimed to people who are so different from us and don't even share the basic presumptions that we have about good and evil, truth and falsehood, God and the world, they're going to really come to some strange conclusions. And we might wonder, why are they thinking this? Why do they think we're the arrogant ones? Why do they think we're trying to control their lives? Why do we think we're trying to control their bodies? Why do they think we're trying to take their rights away? It's an example of the same thing we see in this reading. People are used to thinking and living and interpreting things a certain way. Then we come along with the saving gospel of truth, and they can't figure it out. There's another lesson that comes to us here. Paul and Barnabas were celebrity priests. Now people talk about celebrity priests as if it's automatically a bad thing. Well, then I guess we have to start with Pope Francis, no? Who's the biggest celebrity priest in the world, right? If there's something wrong with celebrity priests, we got a problem with the Vicar of Christ. We got other problems there anyway, but the point is, from the point of view of being well-known and being highly regarded are not in and of themselves problems. Being well-known and being highly regarded and having some name recognition attracts people. makes people ready to come and listen. Oh, I want to hear Father so-and-so. Oh, I want to hear Bishop so-and-so. I want to hear this layperson so-and-so. And the excitement of seeing them, sort of like the excitement you get if you see your favorite singer or actor, it's not in and of itself a bad thing. It can serve a very good purpose of getting your attention. Now, some people who are celebrities obviously influence crowds in the wrong direction, but they can also influence them in the right direction. You may know the actress Patricia Heaton, whom I know and have been with on a number of occasions and talking with her about pro-life. She's very pro-life, and she has obviously an influence, a big following, and when she talks about pro-life, people listen to it. And so we make use of it. We have to make the proper use of it, never letting it do what happened to these people who were so surprised at what they saw, that they mistook Paul and Barnabas for being gods themselves. No, we don't make that mistake. We don't put people, even that we respect greatly, so high on a pedestal that we forget what Paul said here. We are of the same nature as you, human beings. The miracle occurred. The healing happened. The power of the gospel continues from the resurrection to this preaching to every creature, this preaching to every nation. It continues, brothers and sisters, right in our midst today. Let's be part of it. Let's proclaim that gospel within our families, within our communities, in our pro-life work. And let's do it with the confidence that Paul and Barnabas had, never running away. You know, when they started to offer sacrifice to them as though they were gods, Paul and Barnabas didn't go run into a corner. They stayed in the spotlight. They had gotten the attention of the people. That was the purpose. They stayed there. They clarified it for the people, and then they kept preaching the full truth of the gospel. Never run away from the circumstances in which you know you have an opening to proclaim this good news. Let's do it. Let's do it with clarity. When we have to correct people's misunderstandings, let's do that too. And let's get the word of God to the farthest corners of the world. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the example of Paul and Barnabas. We thank you for the proclamation of the gospel in every age and in every place. May it find root, Lord God, in our lives, in our efforts to magnify the word. Bless us as we move forward and as we lift up now the intentions of all our brothers and sisters, those here in our audience, those far off. Lord, give us all the graces of which we stand in need, and especially those that we have explicitly requested. May we please you. May we serve you. May we experience the love that you show us in the constant answering of our prayers. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thank you, friends. Let's bring other people into these broadcasts. Let's continue to strengthen not only our work for the kingdom of God, but especially our pro-life commitment. God bless you, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priest for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.